Foreign Minister, always a pleasure to see you. Ambassador Umarov, distinguished guests, thank you for the opportunity to speak today about U.S.-Kazakhstan bilateral relationship and where it is and how we see it growing into the future. First, let me thank the Embassy of Kazakhstan, Turkic-American Alliance, Atlantic Council for hosting this event, as well as for other sponsors who have helped bring this forum to discuss all aspects of the U.S.-Kazakhstan relationship. Turning great games into great gains, we couldn't agree more. Looking back over the past quarter of a century, it's absolutely amazing how far we've come in this kind of relationship. It's very rare that a relationship can grow this strong, this deep, over such a short period of time. The U.S., as you've heard frequently, but I must say it again, was the first country to recognize Kazakhstan when it became an independent and sovereign nation 23 years ago. It was clear in 1991, and it's clear today that a strong, independent, and vibrant Kazakhstan is very much in U.S. strategic interests and in the interests of the world community. In the years since, Kazakhstan has become an increasingly important partner in many areas, including global security, non-proliferation, strengthening economic connections within Central Asia, and between Central and South Asia, and more broadly into the world. And we have seen repeatedly over those 23 years how the U.S.-Kazakhstan partnership contributes to greater stability and prosperity for the Kazakhstani people, for the American people, and for the population of the world. Just a little bit later today, Secretary of State John Kerry and Foreign Minister Andreev will meet in the latest round of our strategic partnership dialogue to discuss cooperation on the most pressing global problems such as the Islamic State, Iran's nuclear program, climate change, and infectious diseases like Ebola. They will also talk about U.S. support for Kazakhstan's efforts to diversify its economy and promote green energy through Expo 2017, and our joint efforts to increase educational exchanges and people-to-people contacts between our two nations, and to see our brightest scientific minds cooperate for mutual benefit. The joint statement that will be released later today will detail the broad range of interests that we share and that we will continue to share far into the future. Our two nations have built a foundation of mutual trust, working together to advance common non-proliferation and arms control goals. Kazakhstan has been and continues to be a leader in this field, both seen in the past efforts, such as the amazing Project Sapphire, and the relinquishing of their nuclear arsenal. Kazakhstan and the other states of Central Asia have made a major achievement this past year as they worked with the United States and other members of the P5 to sign the protocol to the Central Asian Nuclear Weapon-Free Zone Treaty. Finally, Kazakhstan's hosting of the P5 plus one talks on Iran in 2013 was instrumental in the international community's efforts to reach a diplomatic solution and continue to work toward that on the Iranian nuclear program. Through these and other non-proliferation efforts, Kazakhstan has made tremendous effort and contributions to international security, and it is only fair that we recognize that achievement. Kazakhstan has also done a great deal to foster stability in its own region. It's contributed to Afghanistan's future by funding 1,000 Afghan men and women to study at Kazakhstani universities and by helping to fund the Afghan National Security Forces and police. We do applaud Kazakhstan's establishment of its new development agency, KazAid, which we understand will focus on Afghanistan and other parts of Central Asia, at least initially. But I have no doubt that not too many years into the future, we will see KazAid in many other parts of the world. While making significant contributions to regional security, Kazakhstan has also been investing in its own future by building up its human capital. As the foreign minister said at the very beginning, and as President Nazarbayev said at the very beginning of independence, you cannot have a new country, a new generation, unless they think in a new way. One of the great decisions made in this part of the world was the establishment of the Bolshak program, which has trained thousands of young Kazakhstani citizens in the global way of living and doing business, and that is paying off extraordinarily handsomely today. We're very pleased that we were able to participate in other exchange programs apart from the Kazakhstani students who chose to study in the United States. For example, the Fulbright program and other programs like that. And we're also honored to have started a new program welcoming senior civil servants from Kazakhstan at Duke University and at OPM's Federal Executive Institute in Charlottesville, Virginia. Through this venture, the United States remains committed to continuing to work with Kazakhstan to foster democracy and good governance. Effective governance, in turn, allows us to increase our collaboration to address global challenges, which show, unfortunately, no sign of abating. The United States and Kazakhstan have made significant achievements together. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for us together, the reward for good work is going to be more work down the road, far into the future. That's why we've set an ambitious agenda together, to seize the opportunities of the 21st century and to address its challenges. Though located on opposite sides of the planet, in spirit, we are on the same side. We share the goal of a strong, independent, and vibrant Kazakhstan that can strengthen the security, freedom, and prosperity of not only the Kazakhstani people and the broader Central Asian region, but also of the United States itself. This is why the relationship is important. This is why the relationship is strategic. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick. Thank you, Ambassador. It's now my pleasure to introduce Dan Poneman, the former Deputy Secretary of Energy. At the Atlantic Council, one of the things that keeps us strong is we really keep our eyes and ears open to bring the best and brightest on the Atlantic Council board. And what you try to do is you try to grab the best and brightest immediately when they're coming out of government so that no one gets to them before you. I must say that I'm very pleased that Dan Poneman has joined our board. He really embodies everything that we try to stand for at the Atlantic Council. An Atlanticist, someone who is looking after the best interests of the United States, but with a better state of the world in mind. Currently a senior fellow at Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs, John F. Kennedy School of Government, Harvard University. Wanted to highlight a personal side of Minister Andreessov, you should know that Dan Poneman is a guitarist. And he's played in two bands that many of you may have heard around the place. One of them was called the Coalition and the Willing. And I understand the most recent one, somehow connected to the Department of Energy time, it was called Yellow Cake. So with that, let me turn to Dan. The only thing I would ask in your comments, let's start trying to wrestle with this whole question of, are we in a new era for the relationship? And I know you have some prepared comments, but you want to deal with that. The era that you knew so much about, the birth of Kazakhstan, the nuclear agreements, then we go through the period where for the U.S. was really linked with Afghanistan, not necessarily only for Kazakhstan. Now where are we going?
Thank you, Fred. I'd like to thank the Atlantic Council. And Fred does have an eye for talent, and he's recently attracted Ambassador John Herbst to lead the Eurasian effort. And that's a great coup. I don't mean that in the August 91 sense, but the other kind of a coup. For the Atlantic Council, I'd like to thank my good friend Ambassador Khairat Umarov, who has done a lot over many, many years to support this relationship as has my also a very dear friend and a great leader going back many, many years, Foreign Minister Yerlan Idrisov, my colleagues, Ann Harrington, Ambassador Hoagland. Had a very fine time with Ambassador Hoagland and Minister Idrisov in Kazakhstan when I was leading the bilateral dialogue. A musical evening, in fact, with then-Minister Sawat Minbayev. I'm going to do what Fred asked, because actually, apart from a few scribbled things with a coffee stain, I don't have prepared remarks. Nobody prepares my remarks anymore. So you've got me and my memories, but an eye toward the future. And knowing where I'd be on the panel, I thought it would be helpful to think of a bridge between this session and the following session, because I really think that the security side of the equation and the economic side are deeply intertwined. And it's proper and fitting that the security side should come first. I spent a lot of time in academia in my life. I'm back up at Harvard now part-time. We used to have these big, long discussions over coffee. Are they the inexorable forces of history that drive human events? And Karl Marx used to say that, but then you have the John Stuart Mill view, which it's really much more about the leadership qualities of the individual and so forth. The older I get, the more I realize that individual decisions make pivotal differences in history. And you can see a lot of that in Kazakhstan. I had the privilege, it was really a privilege one night, to hear President Nazarbayev tell the story, which I'm sure many of you have heard, of August 91 from his perspective. Some of you may know that before he was standing on a tank, Boris Yeltsin was down visiting with Mr. Nazarbayev down in Almaty, if my memory serves. There were, I think they had a good time, is what I read, and not what I heard. But the bottom line was, in those pivotal weeks when Yanayev and Khrushchev and Yazov were trying to organize a putsch to basically force Gorbachev from power, they looked for support to President Nazarbayev, and they didn't get it. So he made the right decision for history then. And when, and Ann Harrington and I were working closely in those years, when I was at the National Security Council at that time, and I was responsible for nonproliferation, do you remember all the articles written about four nuclear weapon states emerging out of the Soviet Union breakup? That was the nonproliferation challenge of the day. Didn't happen. It didn't happen because President Nazarbayev made another decision, a decision to give up his nuclear weapons, a decision to join the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty as a nuclear weapon state, to resist blandishments and entreaties in the other direction, which I think have also been historically recorded, ultimately to sign the NPT, the CTBT, Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, join the nuclear suppliers group, sign the additional protocol. I need not say more about Project Sapphire, which I had the privilege to have some role in back then. It's been historically recorded, a great victory. Time and again, they've made the right decision. Now, as a consequence, and related to that, you've seen what they expected and have had every right to expect. You saw Chevron move in 20 years ago. I've had the opportunity to visit the Tengizchev Royal Field. That is a very remote place. That is a very harsh climate. It is producing prodigious amounts of oil. Karachaganak is producing prodigious amounts of oil. The prosperity, you've had a doubling of GDP per capita in the last 10 years, 20 years, I should say. You've had all during the 2000s before the crash, a very sustained rate of growth hovering around 10% per annum. And that's because the climate that has been created, the security environment has been a stable one. The strategic decisions in favor of nonproliferation have been taken, have rightly brought Kazakhstan to a leadership role, not only in the region, but I would say really in the world. And even now, where you see, even as we're going through a very, very precipitous decline of oil prices, I'm sure you're going to see continuing efforts to develop the Kashagan field, 13 billion barrels of oil that will ultimately come to market, also in very challenging conditions. None of this would be accomplished without partnership, without the partnership at the government-to-government level, and without partnership at the company-company level and at the individual level. And there are inevitably, throughout history, ups and downs in relationships. But I think what gives these relationships the ballast that they need to survive the challenging times are precisely the deep, abiding relationships that are created among all these institutions. It's almost as if you took de Tocqueville's rules about the power of association in our own system and translated to the support of a bilateral relationship that has great longevity. Now, for 5 years, I had the privilege to co-chair the U.S.-Kazakh Energy Dialogue. And early in my tenure, there was an ambassador, a very distinguished ambassador from Kazakhstan in Washington. I'm just struggling to remember the name. It was something like Yerlan Idrisov. And we had lunch. And I was, even then, as I am even now, impatient of spirit. And we have, if I may say, lots of bilateral dialogues. And I said, my dear friend ambassador, I'm for it, but we have to make it practically useful. And he agreed. And we launched that dialogue, and we agreed it was, and this will get me, I promise, Fred, to the point we're going to and that you asked me to reach. It has to grow and evolve. So we had a longstanding non-proliferation cooperation, and you've heard it detailed. And we had, by that time, already a robust cooperation at the commercial level in oil development. It was actually Ambassador, then Ambassador Drisov said, we need to move it into smart grid. We need to move it into energy efficiency and renewable technologies. And we have worked with Minister Issy Keshov and Jaksileyev and others to do just that. And as we traverse, and I'm sure we will traverse, these difficult transitions in Afghanistan, we're going to have to double down on that.